Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Considering the amount of football that's being played, we did go slightly off message, but hopefully it was interesting. We followed up a conversation with a man who was attempting to go over 170 miles an hour on a push bike. Did he do it? You'll find out. Also, we chatted to the man that is the mastermind, certainly in England, as you'll discover, of tractor football.
It's a big sport.
Yeah. And we had a chat about various things, didn't we?
We did, yes, all sorts of stuff.
And here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. You know, you get these things in your head, these things you can't stop. I can't stop saying, and I've been saying it about 100 times this morning, in the style of Alan Brazil, a very good morning to Australian batsman Manus Labuschagne. Morning, Manus!
Manus Labuschagne.
Labuschagne. Well, I wanted to read it in the style of Alan.
Oh, did Alan call him Labuschagne?
Probably. He would do, though.
He's going to say, joining at the year, Australian bowler Labby Siffrey joins us. Labby! Found great. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Has he given it? It's fairly straightforward. Yeah. Labuschagne's quite. It's quite straightforward.
Shame, yeah,
it's quite straightforward.
But he is Marnus, isn't he? Marnus.
Marnus. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There we go.
I know now, something else you've been doing. We're going to get a bit of guidance on this. Mm. You've had a bit of a premonition, haven't you? You took to Paddy Power's website to check out some odds on a football bet. Tell us what you've got.
I don't know why. It was just my mind started to wander during the game. I enjoyed the game last night. It was a very good game. We'll talk a bit about it. But Burnley, I was thinking, what are the odds for... First of all, I thought, I wonder what odds United are. Then I thought, I'll look up the outright odds on Paddy Power for the whole thing. Then I thought, what about a sort of mad bet? So I thought, what about Burnley? I mean,
Burnley to
win the Premier League. They had a brilliant second half of the season. It's, you know, as good a record as everybody apart from City and Liverpool. And so they're 2,000-1. Win the Premier League this
which
season.
Is kind of a lot of the teams not fancied are. They caught a cold after Leicester and 5,000-1, so you can't really get much better than 2,000-1, I don't think.
No, but Southampton are only 1,500-1 with Paddy Power, and I'm thinking Burnley are going to finish above Southampton, aren't they? Unless I'm going mad. I mean, you'd imagine they would. They had a better season last year, the better season the year before. I think they're in a more settled place that you'd imagine. I mean, neither of them are going to win the Premier League, let's be honest. But if any of them were, it's more likely to be Burnley, isn't it, than Southampton. So I came up with this bookie-beating plan, right? Hmm. So I get in an Arab sheikh or a Russian oil millionaire or something like that, because someone with a load of money.
Yeah.
And then basically we put $2 million on Burnley to win the league.
Right.
At 2,000-1, that's quite a lot of money, isn't it?
It is. I'm not sure the bookie will take that off your hand. They may smell a rat.
Then
maybe a bit of a red flag at Paddy Power HQ.
Immediately we sign Neymar, Van Dijk and Messi for Burnley.
Yeah.
Not a bad lineup. De Gea. And we tempt Pep to come in and work under Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
I feel he'd be a good...
What, as an assistant manager?
Assistant manager, yeah.
Okay.
And Bob's your uncle. Burnley win the league. And I make a fortune.
So yeah, but what about the money you've had to spend to bring that kind of talent in?
Well, it's not my money. I'm not worried about
it. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Well, it'll be paid for by my bet. That's the whole idea. It'll be paid for. But I'll get around the sort of financial fair play by Paddy Power paying for it.
Okay.
Never going to happen, is it?
We have good luck with that.
Yeah.
You make a good point, actually, because these are the odds. Brighton, Burnley, Sheffield United, Norwich, Crystal Palace, they're all 2,000-1. But Bournemouth, Newcastle, Aston Villa, Southampton, Newcastle, Bournemouth and Palace They are, well, Palace is 2,000 to 1, but Bournemouth and Newcastle and Villa, 1,500 to 1. And then Southampton have come in. Since Southampton have come in, you're 1,000 to 1.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A few people, angry Southampton fans, after you said Burnley are going to finish above them, have lumped on because they're now 1,000 to 1. West Ham, 500 to 1. Watford, 500 to 1. Mm. Wolves, Everton, Leicester, all 250. And then 75's Chelsea. 75's for Chelsea. Been a long time since they've been that far out. But there
I think that's realistic.
Reasons.
Yeah. So, yeah.
35 for Arsenal. 35 for Manchester United. 22 Spurs. 5 to 2 Liverpool. And 9, is that right? 9 to 4 on Man City.
Yeah, they're still the favourites.
So there we are. So it's interesting. There's, you think Newcastle are less likely to win the league than Southampton, or more likely to win the league than Southampton?
I'd say equal. They've got an equal chance,
though. Of not winning it. Well, an equal chance of not winning
that's
it.
That's
okay, fair enough.
They're equally unlikely.
We'll ask Lee at Paddy Power later, see if they've seen any movement in the Burnley market.
There's been a lot of chat about VAR. Of course there has. And we've hammered the officials. We've hammered the IFAB.
Yeah.
But I have to say that last night I saw for the first time the sub going off at the nearest point. Mm. And I thought, you know what? That's actually a good rule, to be fair. I mean, who needs that long, slow walk off, you know, where the bloke pretends to run but he isn't, and, you know, and he waits. And they never add on the right amount of time.
So, what you're going to get, though, is you're going to get players knowing that they're like 1-0 up with 5 minutes left, and they probably know they're going off. Or maybe they've done the old take me off because I'm injured. So they'll do the magic robot. They'll go and stand on the centre circle. Go and stand right on the centre circle.
Devious.
Wouldn't they? And then up goes the board and they go, oh, okay. Well, what is equidistant?
You've just summed up the problem with trying to change the rules of football in a nutshell. Whatever you try and do, the coaches use it. Like,
they'll find
the way you think, you know, come up with a way of.
So the coach will say, get yourself, you're going to be coming off in a couple of minutes, get yourself on the centre circle.
Instead of going along with the sort of
take your time.
The spirit of the law to make it work, and it's a really good idea and everybody thinks that's a good idea. No, you're right, that's exactly what.
No one's done that yet, have they?
I bet you, now you've mentioned it, someone will.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing about VAR. I heard Alan this morning, I agree with him 100%. He was talking about Neves' goal. He said that he was going to throw his TV out the window if it had been disallowed. And I wrote here, if they disallow this goal, I'm never watching football again, which is probably a bit extreme.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know what he means. And, you know, and I was thinking, does it actually... It doesn't actually spoil the... I did go mad. It doesn't actually spoil that moment. It spoils the... The next moment is basically is the problem.
You find yourself now seeing a great goal like that and thinking, oh, blow, I hope they might need to VAR that. Why would they need to VAR that?
I just got really excited. I'm still in that phase. I'm still not in the check myself phase.
And just for a moment when they're looking out, I think, oh, no, he could be offside. He could just be a toe offside.
Oh, I just thought that long from long range. You're thinking, I thought, like a lot of people, that was were they going to disallow it because of the... I can't remember who it was now. Player in front, the keeper, but he wasn't interfering, so that was fine.
Cracking game though, wasn't it? Really good,
good,
really
game.
Good Monday night
and
game.
Isn't
exciting.
It interesting that after two games, only two teams have got 100% record.
Yeah,
I mean that says everything about the Premier League. Two games, home and away, so it's kind of what you'd expect in a sense, but. You know, that is amazing, isn't it, really? It says everything about the league, I think.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
When we were over in Brazil for the World Cup in 2014, we had a chat with a guy that brought car football to Brazil. We got a lot of the big sides involved, didn't he? Botafogo and Corinthians and Flamengo. They all had their own teams.
Yeah.
And it was purely that. Oversized ball, little cars in the team colours.
Yeah, there's a history of it going back in Britain. I remember
it used to be a bit of a favourite on World of Sport, didn't it, back in the day. But I don't think anybody's ever done it with tractors before.
No.
I could be wrong. But that's all changed, and it's thanks to Southam's Vintage Machinery Club and their efforts. Keith Collins is here to tell us a little bit more about it. Hi, Keith.
Hiya.
Good. So, was this the first year you'd done it? Or have you done it in the past?
It is the first year we've done it, yeah. We got the idea from a vintage machinery club in Scotland, who are the only ones, to my knowledge, that have done it before.
Right.
We are just a small club in the South Ams that we raise money for charity each year, and we just wanted to do something different to get a few more people through the gate. It was very exciting, I must admit. It was exhilarating to play, and I'm sure the people found it exhilarating to watch as well.
Yeah, the...
I've got Keith Andy, jump in.
Keith, here we go.
A great big football. Actually, in Man U colours, black and red.
Right.
But, obviously, I was... it was down to me. We didn't want a blue and white one.
So did you have the tractors in club colours, Keith?
Well, no, we didn't. We can play grey tractors against red tractors or against blue tractors like Forgeons against Ferguson's or whatever. We've got lots of combinations we can use, or we can use different drivers driving different tractors. But it is the first year we've done it, and I'm sure in the future we'll have reds against blues and reds against greys, just to make better matches, like, you know.
Did you play it on a football pitch? I'm jumping in on you now. Yeah, you're sit there
I'm never going to get this question in about the ball. I want to know where you got that big ball from.
Okay, go on, let's deal with that.
The company in Scotland actually made the ball, Montrose Rope and Sail Company.
Right.
So they made the ball for the Vintage Machinery Club in Scotland, so I thought, why try and get one made down here in the South Hams? I'll get them to make one and send it down. It was a lot easier. It's made of quite hard plastic and with an inside beach ball, which is about 6 feet inside, inflated, which makes it very bouncy.
Yeah.
We found that we had to let it down a bit to stop it getting too bouncy.
Hmm. How much did it set you back, Keith, that ball? How much do you have to pay for a giant football like that?
About £450.
Oh, blimey,
that's quite expensive.
But we're lucky we got quite a lot of sponsors that were interested in, because it's something new down here, they thought, oh, yeah, we'd like a piece of that.
Yeah.
Get their name on the first action. But it worked out very well. We soon got enough sponsorship to pay for the ball. We've got the ball now. We can do whatever we like with it.
That's right. No one's going to nick it. As long as it doesn't go in somebody's garden, they don't give it back.
I've got another question.
They put a knife in it. Andy has a question. Andy Claxon.
What about the size of the goals, Keith?
If you can imagine, the size of the goals was determined by if we needed a penalty shootout. So if we needed a penalty shootout, we needed a tractor on the goal line, but we needed space either side of the tractor for the ball to be able to go into. So we were going something like sort of 17 or 18 feet size of the goal.
Right.
And we used big bales of straw as goalpost. That's what we want to use all the time, so that we can get shots to go in off the post as well. We've actually done it with road bollards at the moment, 4 foot road bollards, but they don't bounce in off the post very well. So
yeah.
Did you have any goalkeepers, Keith?
Yeah, not. You see, we only play with two aside. The idea is to entertain and not be too competitive for insurance purposes and safety reasons. If we have more than two tractors on each side, you're always going to get one defending and two attacking.
Yeah.
And if you've got a defender, you don't score too many goals. So if we cut it down to two tractors on each side, you can get lots of interplay, lots of passing, and both tractors are attacking. So then when you lose the ball, you get more goals, and a 5-5 draw is a lot more entertaining than a 1-1-0 win.
That's true.
5-5, great. Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
Two of the tractors had an argument over who was going to take the penalty, apparently.
Is that right? Yeah, that can happen.
It can happen.
Are you're a United fan. It sounds like you are, Keith.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, United fan, yeah.
Yeah. What was your take on that last night? Did you see the game?
I did see the game. Yeah,
you're about upset with Pogba for taking
the
penalty.
I felt a lot better about watching Man U this season already than I have for the last few seasons.
Right.
It was a pity Marcus Rashford didn't take it, but there you go.
Yeah. So why Manchester United for you then? Because it's a long way from home, isn't it?
Man and boy, granddad, dad, myself. You're not allowed to be a son of mine or anything in my family if you're not a Man U supporter.
Wow. Did you know, this is a fact for you,
Pardon?
Keith. Did you know, Keith, here's a fact for you. There's a new report out this week that one in seven people on the planet now support Manchester United. It's a shame none of them live in Manchester. Sorry about that.
That's a cheap shot.
That's not true. But that is the truth. One in seven people in this world, on this globe, support Manchester United now.
Oh, really?
We haven't had a lot to shout about just lately.
Oh, that's true.
It's good they're growing the fan base still, isn't it, really?
It is.
Yeah.
Straight in times. So, you're up for guest teams if anybody else wants to come down with their tractor. Will you take on all comers maybe in the future? Could we have a World Cup?
We just don't want to play away teams in Scotland, that's all.
No, it's a long way to take
your tractor.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
Well, I've had one or two inquiries already about where can they get a ball and where can they get a team. So we're hoping that it's going to grow and more money for our... this year's... We're raising money for community first responders, which is a very worthwhile cause at the moment. Each year we have a different charity. We've done air ambulance and this, that and the other. So the charities might get more support if we do more tractor football.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Good. Well, we'll get back to you. You'll be the Jules Rimet of tractor football, Keith. You'll be the man that started it. We'll have a World Cup. We're on this show.
They call me the Harry Ferguson, not the Alex Ferguson.
Sean Massey Ferguson should run the line, says Frank. Thank you very much for that. Cheers, Keith. All the best. Thank you very much. There's Keith Collins there. Down in Kingsbridge in Devon, Manchester United heartland, clearly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. The next thing that's going to happen, just going back to VAR very quickly, is that we saw, I mean, let's return to week-old news, because after that week I wasn't here, I noticed Jonathan Woodgate not happy with Burrow or sawn off by an offside goal. He said two mistakes from the linesman. The view is VAR is in the Premier League. Why isn't it in the Championship? So even though it isn't working particularly well, you're still going to get a lot of people in the Championship saying there's so much jeopardy on us winning and losing games. When are you going to give it to us?
But then where do you stop? And then League One will say, well, you know, if we get into the Championship, we could be in the Premier League and this could cost, you know.
Well, our producer's just come in. Of course, he's a Torquay United fan. He is VAR-free at the moment. Yeah. He doesn't have to worry about this kind of stuff.
Well, I think it's probably good, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, a few weeks back, we spoke to Neil Campbell. He was about to attempt to break the world speed record on a push bike. He told us he was looking to reach speeds of above 170 mile an hour. And we said, are you mad?
Well, he was.
But he's done it.
And he's
in
all
one
right.
piece.
Yeah.
And he's here to talk us through it. Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon, gents. How are you?
Well, congratulations, first fantastic. And foremost.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
Nice to speak to you. Hopefully not from your hospital bed today. You're in great shape.
Do you know what the daftest thing is? And this is the truth, is that I managed to survive like a whole week of like death and sort of, you know, glory and all that kind of thing. And I think I've just broken my toe by walking into a coffee table.
Oh, no. That's so painful.
Oh, no. That's not good. So just remind the listeners of how you did it, how you went at 174 miles per hour on a bike.
This is a sort of a motor-paced record, so it's cycling within a slipstream of a car. So you see the guys on the Tour de France, and they're all sitting behind each other. And so they're all sitting in the slipstream of the car, which means themselves, so they can sort of save their energy and essentially go faster. Mm-hmm. Now, what we do is we just take that to the sort of absolute limit. So we get this really powerful Porsche Cayenne SE hybrid car, and we sort of strap a load of fare into the back of it and then just go like the clappers up a runway and see how fast we can get. That's basically it. But we're on a modified bike with super huge gears and all that kind of thing, and wearing racing leathers and all sorts of things.
And so
like
they
that.
Then the car will have ultimately let you go, so you'll be freewheeling at that sort of speed, won't you?
Oh, no. Not at all, no. It's true that you get like a physical tow up to sort of like 70% of the top speed, and we're only doing that because we're doing it in Elvington in like Yorkshire, which is a small bumpy runway. And this thing is typically done in Bonneville, where it's 6 miles long, so we've got all the disadvantages you can possibly think of. So we're towed for a little bit, then we release, and then you're cycling within this sort of a vacuum, which is just like sitting behind a jet engine with all this wind and stones and rocks and stuff circulating around you. And so then you're sort of kind of sucked along, and you're pedaling along in this slipstream of this sort of the wake, basically, of this car.
Wow. Jeez. I'm looking at a photo of the bike. I mean, the tyres almost like motorbike tyres, aren't they? They're pretty thick.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it has to be. I mean, this bike was designed because we knew that we couldn't get to Bonneville just yet. And so we had to, you know, the runway up there is quite bumpy. That's a motocross set of forks and wheels. From a KTM motorbike, so it's half. It's like a Frankenstein monster of half bike, half bicycle, half motorbike, really.
Yeah.
But it has to be because, you know, we've got to brake. I mean, if we went to Bonneville, you wouldn't need brakes. That's the stark difference, is the distance, really.
So can you ride this to the shops? I would imagine.
Very slowly. We can change the gear in to make it more rideable. But,
it looked good with the basket
moment.
On it. Just put a basket on the front. Of course, yeah,
the basket you can case see riding it, mate, honestly.
Yeah, you can see the gears by the pedal. It is a very heavy gear, isn't it? It has to be.
Yeah. And the other thing is we keep the gears as low as possible so that when I'm pedaling, the revolutions, the speed of the legs aren't too fast, because that unsettles the bike as well.
How did you get into this? What made you? Did you see it done and thought, I'd like to give that a try? How did it work?
Yeah, I was sort of coached back like 20 odd years ago by a guy called Dave LeGrise, and he was the British record holder, and he set that record, the British record, on the M42 behind an old Rover SD1 as part of the opening of the M42 motorway. And so I went round to his house for the first time, saw this massive great big photo of him doing this crazy thing. And I was like, what the heck is that? And he said, he went through the whole story. And I went, oh my God, that's so cool. I want to do that one day. And that was like 25 years ago. And I never thought I'd be doing it. I never thought I'd be here today sort of talking to you about it.
Yeah, and it's on YouTube. I've just found it. And it is sensational. I mean, you've had nearly 72,000 views. So I'm sure that will grow.
Oh, wow, really? Oh,
yeah,
I haven't seen
that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what's been released. I haven't seen it all yet.
To get to Utah and go and do it, Salt Lake City and Bonneville Salt Flats, of course, an iconic place for land speed records. I mean, maybe off the back of the publicity you've had and the YouTube views, you might get a bit of sponsorship and get a chance to do it and even beat your own record.
Yeah, I definitely think we can. I mean, if we had another half a mile, you know, we'd go absolutely crazy. I mean, We genuinely think we can go in excess of 200 mile an hour, seriously, and it's just a case of sort of putting all those sort of pieces in place to do it. We've got a lot of the sort of the knowledge that we've built up over the last 5 years, so it's a slow burn of this. You know, it's not like we've just suddenly popped up and decided to do it. You know, this has been a long-standing mission, if you like.
The record stood from Dutch rider in 1995. So, do you think anybody's going to be prepared to sort of take you on? Anybody? I mean, you've not heard from the Dutch guys. Probably that little bit older there, isn't he?
Well, he is. Yeah, but actually, there's a few pretenders to the throne. Potentially, if I go to Bonneville next year, there's another guy that's Luke Flomond, and he's attempting to break, you know, essentially my record now. Next year already, it could end up being like a sort of international incident, really, on Bonneville.
Oh, wow.
A bit of head-to-head. And, but that makes life interesting, doesn't it?
Also, just noticing here, Neil, that the link from the bike to the car is what I describe as the sort of thing you'd secure your shopping with. It doesn't look that strong, look, Paul. You know,
well, it's not.
It's elastic.
Yeah.
I think actually that one was from Poundland. I don't know if I'm allowed to say
Poundland. Right.
But yeah, really, well, honestly. But it's not that strong. I mean, I think there's a perception that I'm physically towed up to speed and then I just, towed literally up to 170 mile an hour and then the line's dropped, which, if anybody wants to sort of strap themselves to the back of a Porsche Cayenne and go in full chat, then, be my guest. But no, it's there just to assist up until a certain point and then it's released. And the release mechanism itself is a boot release catch from a Volkswagen Lupo, so it's not really high tech.
Amazing. Heath Robinson, but brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Excellent. Well done again, Neil. Good to talk to you. And next time we speak, we'll probably be over in Salt Lake City. So we look forward to that.
Always a pleasure, gents. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ben Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Manchester Lass has been in touch and said, I've just tracked it down. I just found this bloody mirror is the last thing I own on Amazon.
Our boss Lee has just sent me a text. He's also just ordered it on Amazon as well.
What about that?
Yeah.
Under £6. Well done, Manchester Lass. We were struggling to find
it.
Yeah,
great.
You can, because it's a cracking read. So we do recommend it. We mentioned earlier on that Stockley Park has got a certain notoriety because that's where the VAR officials are doing their thing, and we keep hearing it in commentary. When will they ever get a mention? The same way. I wonder what
there for my holidays.
Because it does sound like it could have sort of caravans in it and maybe a water slide and a bouncy castle. But in some ways, it does.
Like centre park.
And in many ways,
referees.
It does. No, but I had a mate.
They have rides like an Ellery ride and all that.
A friend of mine used to work there with his old company, because it is a huge business park.
Yeah, I know it really well.
You know where it is, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
And a lot of the big hitters are there, a lot of the big blue chip companies are there.
One of the big TV companies is there. I think that's how it originally sort of started being. That's why it was there, I think.
Right. And it's interesting that they chose that venue. I suppose it's near Heathrow. The idea is that people can get to any
the
VAR
official. Can fly out if he makes a terrible decision.
Get out of the country if they saw off the wrong manager. But they try and make it a kind of a nice place to be if you're going to be there. Mm. I mean, they have all sorts of things. They have the Stockley Film Festival.
Really?
Be nice to think that Lee Probert can go and watch Jaws one evening after he's done a game or something.
That's
they had a falconry display as well at Stockley Park. So again, it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Andre Mariner's there waving a piece of meat in the air, waiting for a kestrel to land on his arm. So you could. This is the thing. It's probably worth hanging around Stockley Park to see the referees doing unusual. They have a 10K event as well.
Well, that'd be.
They've been planting horse chestnut trees around there.
You know, people make sort of fun of John Moss and his shape and all that. I watched John Moss last night.
You might. I don't know any.
Well, I've heard people do it, and not me. But
Mark Clattenburg recently. I understand.
Well, I've watched him, and I watched him run, and I watched the way he runs and the way he keeps up with the plan, how clever he is. And the section I was concentrating on, I thought, you know what. He's really got this sussed.
The first 10 yards in his head.
Well, obviously, he's obviously not going to be as quick as Traore, for example, from Wolves.
Yeah.
Not many people are. And so, so you have to find a way, don't you? It was quite fascinating. It's worth doing, I think.
I mean, they have a biodiversity blog at Stockley Park, and I'd like to think mid-game. Michael Oliver, if he's ever down there, is checking out the fact that a stag beetle has been seen on Stockley Park. That was the breaking news. Yeah, stag beetle Lucanus curvus has been sighted at Stockley
Park.
Isn't
he the head of IFAB?
I think he is the head of IFAB. Yeah.
It's so incredible.
They've got quite the social life. They have a beer festival. That would be interesting. Wouldn't it? Drunk VAR official, drunk VAR, a bit like the old what's it Shakespeare, which I can't say at this time of day. That's a nice idea. Anyway, just some of the things you can do down at Stockley Park when you're berating the VAR officials.
Thank you for bringing us that. It sounds like a good place to go. Now, over the years...
I've been there on my holidays.
over the years, we've talked a lot about the tabloid thing of basically, if you say the word, say, for example, seagulls, you've got to find another way of describing seagulls in the next sentence. Mm. And here's a brilliant one from the Daily Star today. Crazed seagulls have forced terrified Brits to call the police for help, but furious officers say nobody should ever dial 999 over the psychotic airborne scumbags.
That's brilliant.
I don't see them as that, really. I see them as quite a beautiful animal.
I saw them play at the Brecknock once, the psychotic airborne scumbags. One, two, three, four. They were fantastic.
Jonathan Livingston's Psychotic Airborne Scumbag. Yeah. What a great book. No, ridiculous. And there was another one. Where's the other one I found today? Oh, yeah, this was the story about Elton John paying for Prince Harry and Meghan's flight to south of France and saying that he offset some of the carbon footprint, fair enough. And but it described him as the Benny and the Jet singer. You think, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. It's because it involves a plane.
Yeah.
He's got quite a lot of songs.
Why couldn't they have chosen the Daniel singer? Yeah. That's got a plane in
it. That's got a plane in it. That's very true.
That has actually literally got a plane in it.
Ridiculous.
So, Andy. Yes. We were talking, weren't we, the other day about Danny Ings, and we discovered...
Ingo.
Yeah. Was it Ingsy?
Ingsy, I think it is.
He's Ingsy, that's right. Mm. We were saying, should he be Ingo or should he be Ingsy?
Good question.
Because Ralph Hasenhüttl calls him Ingsy. He said maybe he scored once, maybe he should have scored twice. So then we saw that Thomas Tuchel called Neymar Ney.
Ney.
That's right.
Thrice
that's his
Ney,
nickname.
As you said yesterday.
Morning Ney. Yes, when we scored a hat-trick, Frankie Howard was the commentator. So we thought, you've got to be an O or an E, haven't you? In that environment, you've either got to be one or the other. So I thought I might ask you for your expertise in the recent Chelsea game. So we got Ingsy, right? Yeah. Or we got Ingo. They would have been your choices. That's what they players tend to get called.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's take you through the Chelsea lineup that played against Leicester. Aretha Balaga.
He'd be Kepo.
He'd be Kepo,
wouldn't
he?
Yeah, he wouldn't be Aretha Balago. Aretha Balagi.
Aretha Balagi.
Balagi, he might be. But
Azpilicueta.
Oh, well, he's known.
He doesn't really work for Chelsea.
No, he's not Aspi, but he'd be known. I think some people call him Aspi, but he's known as Dave, really.
Oh, yeah, that's what they do call him, Dave, don't they? Christensen.
Christy.
That's not a great nickname.
No.
Zuma. See, the Chelsea names don't work.
Zumi. Zumo. He's not worth bothering, is it? Really?
Zumo sounds like a children's entertainer. None of them work for Chelsea. Zumo. You can't be Ingsy or Ingo in these. What about Emerson?
Emo, I suppose.
Who's going to call him Emo? Well, they all sound like clowns.
Or Emo. Yeah, go
be
on.
Careful. Kante.
Go away.
Yeah, we'll leave that one. What about Jorginho?
He'd be Georgie, wouldn't he?
Well, he wouldn't be Jorginho.
No, he'd just be Georgie. Georgie, I think. I'm sure he'd
Mason
be,
Mount. I call him Mount. Peggy if he was in my dressing room, but I'm of a certain age.
It's got to be Mounty.
It's got to be Mounty.
Always gets his man, etc.
He certainly does. Yeah. He did the other day. Pedro O. That wouldn't really work, would it?
No.
Giroud E.
That doesn't work either.
It doesn't matter now. I think we've worked out.
Honestly, Chelsea, the dressing room's terrible for nicknames.
Not everybody
they have to call each other by their full names.
Not everybody is E or O, clearly.
They've probably got nicknames. Most people have got nicknames. If you haven't got a nickname, now, have you? I've never heard anyone.
I don't know.
Gaffer, I've heard Bill Burrows refer to you as that from the old
days. That's one of the old,
But I can't think of any.
Hawkeye. Frank Skinner calls me Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
We did when we worked together, quite worked that out. But
no.
You were AJ, but I've never called you that.
Never really bothered.
I don't know. I should do. Even your sons call you that.
Call me. But that's good. I need a differential between me at work and me at, you know.
I think you should do, yeah, because
right.
You're at home, you're a lunatic.
I am Grandpa AJ to the kids.
Grandpa AJ?
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. Nice. Can I call you that?
No, thanks. Okay.
Can we all call him Grandpa?
Oh, for goodness sake.
No, we won't do that.
We'll
Paul Hawks being Grandpa AJ here on TalkSport.
Yeah. Thanks.
Anything else you want to share with us today?
It's a serious point, really, but Colin Kaepernick is still training. Still waiting for the call. We put out a tweet saying, I'm still here, I'm still ready, I'm still...
This is the NFL player who infamously took a knee and was, well, they say not, but was effectively frozen out by all the NFL clubs, has not been able to get a club since.
I think it shames the NFL, this, don't you?
I think
there's something wrong, you know, it's not right. And I'm surprised, you know, with the league, the way it is, and the people that watch it and the people who play it, I'm really surprised that this has been allowed to happen.
I was saying to you the other day, there was in light of the fact it was Frank Lampard's first game at the Bridge the other day, they dug out that picture of the bloke that held up the banner at the bridge when he came back with Manchester City. And it said on it, Lampard, you are not a legend anymore. You are a traitor to Chelsea FC and Chelsea fans. So I wonder if he, I just thought, wonder what he feels now. I wonder if he's still got
that banner.
He's
probably saving it in case it all goes wrong.
Yeah, he's going to recycle it. Oh, but I did often wonder whether, Harry, we don't know who he is. And, you know, that may be a little bit...
I did realise last night. I did an interview for a bloke in Norwich, Gary, and Norwich Online or something like that. And he asked me about my attitude...
Is this head of the game this weekend?
Yeah, head of the game this weekend. He asked me about my attitude to Frank Lampard. And I realised afterwards that I am slightly biased here because, A, because I loved him as a player.
Yeah.
And B, because when I met him, I couldn't even speak. And C,
you met him in the studio,
I really like Jody Morris. He follows me on Instagram. I follow him. You know, I think he's a great bloke and everything. I followed them like mad at Derby last year. I really wanted them to do well. And so, in a way, it's slightly difficult for me because if it, you know, I don't want to be critical. I want to give them a lot of time.
You're being very protective. I've noticed this. You'd normally, you know, in a way that you probably wouldn't have been on Sarri or Conte.
In a way, journalistically, it's probably, I was thinking about this last night.
You're a bit too close to it.
It's probably not the right thing. But anyway, hopefully it'll be all right and I won't have to.
I think anybody.
But it doesn't mean you can't be critical of individual decisions. Like, do you bring him on? Why did you take him off?
Any fan of a team that sees a favourite come back. And manage the side. You will, you know, you're cutting them some slack. You don't want to slag them off. I mean, we had it with Hoddle and our dealers when they both managed the team having played for the club. And you want it to work. You're desperate for it. And you will cut them far more slack than usual because you remember them as such
great
players.
But in this
players.
Job, you do sometimes have to be critical. Otherwise, you're not doing your job, are you, really? Do you see this thing that James Maddison...
Maybe not quite as critical as you can be.
Yeah, probably.
Blue square within 5 years, which you used to do in the old days.
Well, that's different. Yeah. That's just me being mad.
You'd be sitting here saying, OK, Norwich this Saturday, 5-0 to Norwich. You'd be doing that.
I actually picked us to win. Yeah. So there you go. James Maddison, he got into a Twitter spat with Jeremy Clarkson.
I did see that,
but honestly, you think, oh, don't bother. I mean, Clarkson's great or what he does, but his tweets on football, like Alan Sugar's, I mean, they're a complete waste of cyberspace, in my view. I just wouldn't get involved with him.
So, 3:15, Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Hawksy and Jayco.
Yeah, that's it.
That would work, wouldn't it, in the Ingsy envelope?
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for all the Chelsea team. Still to come this
sounds
afternoon.
Sounds like a show on Sirius or something.
It probably does.
Hawksy and the Jayco.
It does.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on Talk Sport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Mark Marquez joins us tomorrow from the world of MotoGP. Chris Marshall, the actor and Villa fan, you know, from My Family, Death in Paradise, and his favourite cop show. So that's all tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us. We'll catch up with you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.